Rosa to HealthRadio.fm. I'm your host, Tamula McNabb. I have with us on the line today a very popular chef, Chef Marcus Giuliano. And you're from, which state are you from, Chef?
I'm from New York, New York State. Not New York City, but New York State. I'm in the beautiful Hudson Valley.
Fantastic. Now, you are a chef that is passionate about, I think, protecting the consumer. Is that right?
I am. I do have a mission to protect the consumer and on really truth in menu.
Let's talk about one of your websites. It's called 50mistakes.com. Tell me about that particular venture.
Sure. I have a lot of websites out there, but one of my more popular ones is 50mistakes.com, and it's 50 mistakes that restaurant owners make. I've been a restaurateur for a long time. I've been a chef. I have a business mind, and I've done trial and error on a ton of different business aspects when it comes to the restaurant industry. So I put up a blog on the mistakes that I've made and the mistakes I see other restaurants making, and I have about, I don't know, 70, 75 quick 3 to 5 minute videos on there just outlining some quick fixes that restaurants can do. So, of course, like, I'll give you an example of an easy one. A lot of restaurants put on their website an empty picture of a restaurant. Right? Who wants to see an empty picture of a restaurant? I mean, how good can a table look, silverware, a glass of wine? You want to see action. You want to see emotions. You want to create, you know, an emotional feel when you connect with a restaurant. So that's like the one simple thing that every restaurant can do tomorrow. Put pictures on your website with people having a good time in your restaurant.
Well, let's talk about the food aspect and the healthy aspect of being a chef and I'm a consumer. What are some of the food frauds that happen within the industry that a consumer should be aware of?
Sure. So my other very successful blog is foodfraudtv.com. And, you know, us chefs, us restaurateurs are always on pressure to make money because it's a very tough industry to make money. And we're always under pressure to make more money, and we're always under the pressure from our salespeople with cheaper products, inferior products,
right.
Products that just don't stand up. And then on top of it, chefs will mislabel items. So in turn, you can think they would think they can charge more, but serve an inferior product. And it happens all the time with a lot of different things. So, for example, like diver scallops are only in season from the beginning of December to the last, maybe the third week in March, and they come from Maine, and it says where divers actually go down and handpick scallops. Of course, that's much more expensive than taking a boat out and raking the bottom of the ocean and getting several tons of scallops at a time. You actually have divers using their two hands. So, of course, those scallops are much more money, and if you look at menus now this time of the year and you see diver scallops on their menu, well, they can charge more for diver scallops, but they're really not diver scallops unless they're serving a previously frozen diver scallop, which is not, they're not that readily available.
Right.
So chefs kind of take the liberty to say, well, I'm going to serve something that's really not something and charge more money for it. And the consumer loses out. It happens with wild salmon constantly. It happens with grass-fed beef, very, very popular. It doesn't matter who the chef is. It can be a famous chef, a celebrity chef who has a TV show, or it could be the restaurant around the corner who just doesn't know. And there's several different aspects. Some chefs are doing it because they want to make more money, and this is the way to do it. Other chefs are doing it because they were never taught, they were never educated the proper terminology or what the product really is. And other chefs are being misrepresented by their salespeople. So the person who's from the company who's misleading them and saying, oh, this is this, and you can list it as grass-fed, you can list this as wild, and it's really not. So there's a couple different angles.
I was going to say, you know, and I guess it becomes an ethical issue for sure, but you know, I know that recently in the news, a company was claiming that all of their breads were gluten-free, and they were selling to Whole Foods, and Whole Foods was paying top dollar from this company and selling all of these breads as gluten-free, when in fact, it wasn't even gluten-free, it wasn't even organic, and so then it becomes, you know, a health issue as well. It's not,
right.
It's not easy, selling quality products or organic products because it's expensive. So either you're in or you're out.
Right. And I hear horror stories all the time where people are just downright deceiving. And so it doesn't matter, like I said, if it's a restaurant around the corner or it's a national grocer or it's a celebrity chef. They're all, you know, if you go onto my foodfraudtv.com, you'll see that I have no problem calling people out. And I've even posted some phone calls in there of real conversations with me talking to some big top-name chefs who have disclosed their identity. But it just shows you how clueless some of these people actually are. And I always tell people, ask questions. You have every right to know where your food comes from. If you're going to pay $10 for a dish or $30 for a dish, it doesn't matter. It's your money. And besides ethics, it's the law in most states. It's called truth in menu laws. Restaurants, if they say something, it has to be. You have every right to know if your food is deep fried, if it's sauteed, if it's grilled, if it's wild, if it's farmed. You have that. These are your rights, and people need to understand that. Don't be afraid to ask. And the general rule is, the more questions the chef can answer, the more on top of it he is. If you start asking questions like, well, where was this caught? And when's the season of diver scallops? If you ask a chef this time of the year, when's the season? And they don't know, chances are they don't know, and they don't have a diver scallop. If they said, oh, it's from such and such dates, then, okay, they have an answer for you, right? So chances are their answer is a little bit better than not giving you an answer. So you don't have to be an expert on this. You just have to ask questions until the chef can't answer the question. You know, where was it caught? How was it caught?
And let's talk about farmed versus wild. I mean, what's the difference in pricing for those types of products?
So let's look at salmon. The farmed salmon industry, because every farmed fish species has a different they farm it differently. So farmed salmon is something that a lot of people want to avoid, and I don't blame them. But there's certain species of fish that are perfectly fine that are farm raised because of the practices they do. I like to say, you know, and the whole salmon industry has gotten a bad rap since the 70s because they really took advantage of the consumer. They took advantage of the environment, and they're paying the price now for a bad reputation. Now, are some salmon farms better than others? Yes. How much better actually are they is the actual question. You know, so my feeling is if you want to eat salmon, you need to be eating a wild salmon product. You need to be eating something that's truly wild because it's sort of like the thing that we shouldn't be farming salmon to begin with. And, you know, and I have a whole website called nofarmedsalmon.com. There's a lot of hard-hitting documentaries on there. There's a lot of facts. There's a lot of studies. There's a lot of information on there to prove my case, to prove my opinion on this. So,
well, what are some of the main reasons why we shouldn't be eating farm for the listeners that aren't aware of the health
Sure. First, problem. the feed isn't natural. So their feed is, you know, they can be feeding it corn or soy, genetically modified soy. The levels of PCBs and dioxins are much more elevated. They do claim that their omega-3 fats are higher, but all the fats across the board are drastically higher. So it's a trade-off. If you want more omega-3s, you have to get more of the other bad fats as well. And in the fats are stored all the pollutants, like the dioxins, the PCBs, the mercury, all that's in there. The salmon are put into a pen or basically a feedlot in the sea. They get basically an equivalent of a half a bathtub per fish to swim. Now, the fish that have more room might have a full bathtub of space or two bathtubs of space, which still isn't much considering a salmon can swim thousands of miles in the wild. So they're constantly sick. The one thing about salmon farms is no matter how sustainable they claim they are, no matter what certifications they have, they still have mortalities. Mortalities are a part of the business. So they will kill off 10 tons of fish because they have to kill the whole farm when an outbreak happens. And then what happens with that disease, the outbreak in the salmon? Well, it goes into the wild salmon that swim by. A lot of salmon farms are directly located in the path, in the migratory path of wild salmon. So the wild salmon, the baby wild salmon, the fries swim right through the nets and right through and get all the diseases that are in the salmon farm. So there's issue after issue after issue of things that say, well, we shouldn't really support farmed salmon.
What are some of, like, I love seafood. I love feeding my children, my family seafood, but I have a lot of concerns about the contaminants in the ocean, mercury levels. Is it true the smaller the fish, the less toxins, therefore look at a fish that's no bigger than a frying pan? Do you believe in that theory?
You know, the smaller the fish, the better off you are, especially when it comes to mercury. In my restaurant, we serve an albacore tuna that is no more than 25 pounds when they're caught. They're old enough to reproduce, and they're small enough that it's a bioconcentrate mercury. If you think the larger the fish is, the older it is, the longer it's lived, the more other fish it's eaten, and that fish has eaten other fish. So, of course, mercury bioconcentrates in the fat storage of these fish. So the fattier the fish, the more possible mercury you're actually consuming. And you just can't, when you consume mercury, it goes into your body. It's not something you can just pass through and say, oh, I'm done with today's mercury load I've taken. No, your body accumulates it.
And so that lovely tuna sashimi that I love to eat, the toro sashimi, is because
of course, we all love it, you know, of course. And of course, that's the highest fat content. That's an older fish. Yep. So if you're dead stuck on tuna, the best tuna to have is the albacore tuna that's pole caught in the Pacific Northwest of the U.S., black tuna that comes out of the Caribbean, the small black tuna. Those would be my two best picks for tuna that's lower in, or the lowest, actually, the lowest in mercury.
Chef Marcus, we have to wrap up. I'd love to have you again on the show in the future. I really thank you for your time. Now, your websites are truthinmenu.com, 50mistakes.com. What's the name of your restaurant in New York?
And the name of my restaurant is Aroma Time. Aroma Time, like the herb, T-H-Y-M-E. But if you get to one of my websites, you can get to all of my websites.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you.